I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst, the trailer booking at Billy Bones, a Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United, more than just a podcast, more than just a podcast.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is More Than Just a Podcast.
Podcast.
Season 7, Episode 13, Unlucky for Some. With me tonight is George.
Hello, Sean.
Hello, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm in my bed.
You're in your bed. It's 6:30. And John.
Hello.
Where are you? What are you doing?
I'm in my loft. And I'm all good.
Yeah. And we've got no Nigel tonight, so he's not in my shed. He's actually in Bonnie, Scotland. But don't worry, all Nigel fans, I did do a little interview, so you will be able to catch up with him live or pre-recorded from Scotland later.
And let's face it, there's more Nigel fans than the rest of us, isn't there?
Yeah, he's actually getting a little celebrity. He does people going, oh, will you... Nigel Khan from More Than Just a Podcast a few times, apparently, yeah, around the London Stadium.
Famous man.
Anyway, that's our welcome and hellos out of the way. So let's move on. We've got two games to discuss. We played at Wembley. Did you know that?
We did.
We did.
And we knew that.
So I know John couldn't be bothered to go, and George had an important meeting. I hope it was really worth it, George, because you missed a magical night. But let's start with John, because I hope you did watch it on the box at least, if you couldn't be bothered to come along.
I did watch it on the box at least, and it wasn't. It was fair enough. I just didn't want to try and get out of Wembley on a Wednesday night. I just thought
it wasn't bad, by the way.
Because you stayed behind, though, and did you not
stay behind? We did, but not that long. Probably about 10 minutes to just to watch, you know, the team come over, and then we met at the Bobby Moore statue, and we were at the back end of all the crowds going back onto the Jubilee line, and got straight on basically.
Well, because I guess
it was also half empty, wasn't it?
Yeah, it probably did help. I don't know what the official attendance was. In fact, I'm gonna look that up. But I guess it was around 40,000.
I guess it's my natural pessimistic point of view that I just didn't fancy it, but obviously, jumping around after the final whistle went, wishing I was there. So, you know, yeah, you can't have it all, can you?
Do you know what? I felt exactly the same way at half-time, John. Why are we here? it's funny how it changes, isn't it?
Oh, no, absolutely. But, yeah, it was incredible, wasn't it? The first half, we were just non-existent. It just looked like everyone had given up the ghost. And it just, unbelievable how it changed, wasn't it? And
What did he say at half-time, then?
I don't know. I haven't read that. There has been some talk of what he was said and whatever at half-time, but I'm not even sure it was that. I think they just... I wouldn't be surprised if Noble tore into him a bit. But I think they just had given such a poor account of themselves and sort of just needed a realisation. They were playing at Wembley and it's a cup game and, you know, don't leave any of it behind, you know, leave it all out there. So it did come out.
I saw a stat saying it was we've never lost a competitive game at Wembley. We lost the Charity Shield, but that's not counted apparently as a friendly and not competitive. So we've got a 100% record at Wembley.
When did we play the Charity Shield then?
Oh, long time ago.
It'll be the year we won the FA Cup, won't it?
Oh, 1981. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, George. So, yes, though, that from my point of view, from watching it on the telly, it was unbelievable. And, yeah, I wish I...
Did we not lose a cup final?
Yeah, but that was at the Millennium.
No, I'm thinking like 60s, did we not?
We lost in... we did... the stat was we haven't lost since 1923. We lost the first final, didn't we?
We lost the League Cup final.
Was that at Wembley or was it somewhere else?
I think
we drew that and we lost it on the replay, didn't we?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's right. You're right.
So, John, tell us about the goals. Were you jumping around the room as
well? When the first one went in, I was like, oh, that's like,
consolation goal.
Yeah, put the cat amongst the pigeons, didn't it? That was a good hit by Fernandez, and he followed it in, and that was it. But I mean, obviously the second one went in, and it was hold on a minute, this could be on. And then when the third one went in, it was just kind of ridiculous, wasn't it?
That's when we all got covered in piss, of course, which we thought was beer at the time, or cider, but we now know, no, I don't know. It did smell like beer, actually, that we got covered in.
Yeah, I would imagine. Were you close to the away fans then?
Yeah, not far away. Probably not. On one side, on our left side, rather than the right side, but probably not far away to get that bloke's.
I don't think that. If you look at how that bloke was, whatever he was doing, it wasn't likely to be him.
No.
So
but
yeah,
there were chairs broken. People that were two rows behind us were like surfing down the crowd, like four rows in front. It was pretty much mayhem, but. Great mayhem, a few bruised ribs and stuff like that. But
well, I hate it when we sing 2-0 when you get it up, sort of thing. You know, I hate that song. The way it comes seems to be premature, and I could hear that being sung, and I'm like, oh no, I don't start singing that song yet. But as it turned out, they were right. So yeah, it was a great watch. Second half, anyway.
George, now you had a ticket. Let's tell the story, George. You had a ticket which you sold to your mate Kev. Who was standing next to me. I sent you a picture of me and him, and he was going, this better be important meeting that he's gone to. I want to see the minutes. You must have been gutted when it ended 3-2.
I was. I can't lie, I was. And you said, was my meeting worth it? Well, no, it wasn't really. I would much rather have been at Wembley the night before, but, you know, it was for work, so I couldn't miss it. But I was gutted. I was feeling very smug at half time. But it came back to bite me. And, I was obviously elated that we won, but there was a little bit of me that was a bit upset that I wasn't there.
What was your... Anything to add about the game? I mean, it all came together in those few minutes, didn't it? What was it, 70s?
Yeah, I think we just got to single out the good performers. I think, obviously, IU... with the two goals, done very well. I thought Lanzini was very, very good second half. I think he was the main sort of man who turned it round for us. I think his little assist for the second, for the equaliser, was I don't know, if Messi or Ronaldo would have done that little flick there, I think everyone would be putting it on Twitter and saying how amazing it was. So just want to give out shout out to my main man, Manu.
Yeah, and he made 9 changes.
Yeah, he did.
Didn't he? It was a bit of a, in some ways, a B team.
It was. I mean, what's his name? It was good, wasn't he? Adrian.
Yeah, again, he had a really good game, didn't he? He had that one dodgy moment at the end, towards the end, that I think he pushed it away when he could have kept hold of it. But I think overall, he done himself a world of good. I was surprised to see Joe Hart back in the team on... Saturday, but then again, he proved that he should have been there as well. I thought he had a really good game on Saturday.
Yeah. And you saw the story about the bloke who had a heart attack just outside. We didn't see it, but we heard about it, and was given CPR by another West Ham fan who saved his life.
Did you read about that?
No,
I didn't see that. West Ham fan. We wrote about it in Clarendon Hugh, but it's been elsewhere. A fan at the way in collapsed. I must say, the policing wasn't very good. I don't know if you've seen the coshes out, and the policing was awful. Heavy-handed, the stewarding was bad. I tell you, you think you got it bad at the London Stadium, it's awful at Wembley. Not very organised. We queued for ages. But some fan had, just before kick-off, had a heart attack. A medic who was a West Ham fan gave him CPR, saved his life, and he tracked him down. He found him. His name's Ian Perry is the chap who had a heart attack, and Ian Pierce is the guy who saved his life. So there's a really good, warm family story that West Ham fans together, despite the scummy Spurs fan who just want to pee in cups and throw urine over us. But I don't know if you saw his... He's been banned for life from Spurs. Good. He said that it was all a prank gone wrong and he changed it for cider. Do you believe him?
No.
No.
How could it be a prank gone wrong?
Well, apparently it was all
really
clever editing.
Prank, is it?
He peed into the cup, threw it away, of course, and then replaced it for cider in the stands and threw cider over us instead as a prank.
Right. It was pretty much within about 12 hours his name was out there, wasn't it, everyone?
Yeah.
These people are very stupid.
Yeah. Anyway, a win's a win.
is that your point possession, of view? Thanks for that.
Possession. We're obviously going to play Arsenal at the Emirates. Are you going, John?
I might do.
Oh, quarterfinals. Yeah, George, how about you?
Yeah, I'll come.
Yeah, I think we should all go. I'm in. Possession. West Ham only had 39%. Obviously, Spurs then had 61%. West Ham had 10 shots, 7 on target. Spurs had 13 shots, 6 on target. But we won, so who cares?
So how was it for you then, Sean? Give us your point of view.
You know what? I mean, it was good going to Wembley, right? It was good atmosphere. Everyone's singing. 4,800 people singing. We met at the sports bar beforehand. The girlfriend and her family from America were in, actually, in the Spurs end. But I put them in, like, there was loads of seats spare. But it was pretty mental. It was one of those away days where, you know, we just sung, even when we went 1 or 2 nil down. At half time, we were thinking, you know, if we go 3 or 4 down, do we leave early? We're already talking about that. I went over and I got in a bit of trouble by taking a photo and publishing the photo of the anti-ball. There was some anti-ball singing, by the way, in the first half. I don't know if you picked that up on the TV. Went over, took a picture of a flag that said, Brady Gold Sullivan, thieving, lying, cheats. Met a person from West Ham, an employee from West Ham, which I can't really name, but quite senior, and he said, I've asked the stewards to take it down. They refused. And then second half kicks off, and we just come out from the get-go. We're at it, and I forget what the first goal went in. Was it? But I'm saying when it was. Was it 5 minutes after half-time started?
Yeah, something like that.
And we just went mental, you know. I know it was only one consolation goal that it seemed at the time, but for us it was, you know, I was saying, let's just have some passion, let's just play with a bit of pride. And we got that goal and we just went crazy. Well, a few minutes later, AU scored his second. And, you know, I was happy then. We went crazy and you know, thrown around. There was beer going everywhere, there was drink going everywhere, there was missiles flying all over the place. And I said to Nigel next to me and the German, and I said, I'm happy now, you know, 2-2. I'm happy with that. Even if we lose now, we've shown a bit of... and I just said to Nigel, I said, I fancy AU to get a hat-trick. But I was wrong, because it really went mental. Up comes a Bonner with that header. And I have never seen anything like it. The police went mental. They were bringing in people. They didn't know what to do because it was just like a party. And I must admit, And I said to you afterwards, I had a few, when the final whistle blew, I had a little tear in my eye and goosebumps on my arms.
And wee in your hair.
It wasn't cold. And wee in my hair. And just at the end, you know, the team came over, took off their shirts and threw them into the crowd. Then a little bit later, over comes Noble with a Bonner, I think it was, and sees us. And it was one of those, and I'm not trying to rub it in, George, but it was one of those magical nights that you'll remember for a long time.
It was very reminiscent of the last Tottenham victory in the League Cup that we both went to.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, very reminiscent.
Felt like the same as that, you know. It was just sort of almost meant to be.
I was gutted you couldn't be there because I wanted to enjoy it with you.
Oh, thanks, John.
Yeah, but I hugged your friend instead.
Yeah, I'm sure you're all right.
And a German called AB.
Anyway, we'll all go to the next round and hopefully we'll get another memorable result in North London.
We can have some tears and goosebumps together at the next round. Anyway, nothing else to say, but say, sure. Let's see what the gaffer has to say.
The big change, do you think? The goal key, that first goal?
Goals are always keys, you know, like the goals, they give you energy to the whole team. But also when you concede the goal, it gives them energy. It takes you a bit down. And that's so. The key was for us not to concede the third one, but to score a goal. And that's what we've done. And then from that, we build on. We had more energy. We had more confidence on the ball. They were a little bit. That brought us into the rhythm. They went out of the rhythm of the game. And once you're out of the rhythm, you can't come back that easy. And we didn't stop. We continued when we had a possibility to press them. We pressed them when we had the most of the time. We had to go back. Compact, but in the second half we were much closer in midfield. Fernandez and Lanzini were much closer to Ali and to Sissoko, and those two in particular are always good to burst up to gain space. And we had two strikers, which blocked their three centre backs. So it was really very, very good team performance.
There's a lot of talk these days about managers losing the dressing room. Did they show that they're right behind you?
You know, I told the guys that after the game, I told them before the game. Yesterday, already we showed in a training, like, not first 11 that we tried a bit, but the whole team was like full of energy. And basically, as I said in the press conference, we couldn't wait for the game to start after the Brighton game. To be fair, I would hope that Brighton game was one-off, to be fair, where the goals didn't help when we conceded them in the start of the game and then in the last minute or second of the first half. Recently, we are doing well, apart from that game, of course. So we have energy, we have composure, we have the players back from the injuries and all that. So this is the standard. Some games you're gonna win, some games you're gonna lose, but this is the standard of playing and the standard of defending and attacking.
What do you think about that then, John?
Well, he did. He talked it right up, didn't he? Obviously, but he was very quick to point out that they've not achieved anything yet, because it's got the Palace game coming up at the weekend, and that was just, if not more, important.
Oh, I like that you've done your homework. That's really good. Well, funny you should mention Palace, because we had a game against Palace.
Well, that's
Palace.
Why I did mention Palace, yes.
On Saturday away, I tried to get tickets, couldn't, because you needed like 11. I think you tried to get, you wanted to go as well to this one, didn't you, George?
Yeah, but when they originally went on sale.
Yeah, me but, too.
Yeah, again, it was one that I was actually offered a ticket for it. I was on Saturday after the Brighton game, so before the Tottenham thing all happened. And, you know, I wasn't in the greatest of moods, and it was more money, and I had plans that I would have had to cancel, and I was just like, actually, no. Going to say no.
Yeah, I know.
And again, at 2-0 up at half-time, I was like, oh, no. Made a wrong decision again.
Nigel was the one who went. He was the only one who went because he's got loads of priority points. We do need to get our priority points up, by the way, George.
It's very difficult, though, isn't it, to get your priority points
it
up?
It is. Yeah,
I'll tell you what people are doing as well, though. People are buying tickets for everything and then selling them on.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, see, you've given it away, George. I was going to say, we've got to do that, yeah? If we're going to get our priority points up, but you've just given it away. I was going to say, let's not talk about it, though.
Okay.
So let's not tell anyone else.
Well, everyone's just buying the like Burnley away games and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and then selling them.
Selling them, yeah.
Yeah. So Nigel went, and we're going to hear from him in a minute. I must admit, right, I was in the New Forest. I was at Bewley Car Museum, so I watched most of the first half, but I lost signal for the second half, so I didn't see the abysmal stuff, although I watched it obviously afterwards. Did you watch it all, John?
I did, yes, I did.
All right, let's start with you. Give us a blow-by-blow account on first half versus second half.
Well, you say a blow-by-blow, you know. I'm not very good at remembering all the things of blow-by-blow. But, again, it's, I mean, it's been a lot of talk about it, isn't there? Because it was the 97th minute equaliser that everyone remembers. But, you know, the first half we did well. And we looked good. We weren't, you know, we looked better. We looked a better attitude, better application. But, you know, second half, you just kind of knew that, you know, 2-0 wasn't going to be always comfortable for us. It never is it, anyway?
Two good goals, though, from West Ham.
They were, yeah. I mean, you know, again, IU, what a blinder that was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think even Hernandez one's worth a mention. That little outside of the foot finish, very nice.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, no, it was a good cutback. I mean, but there's a couple of things I didn't quite understand. Sure, maybe you can clear up. I mean, what happened to Creswell? Was he injured? He got taken off at half time. I mean, he looked to me, including the Tottenham game, where he was picking up his game a bit, and that ball across for Hernandez was.
I haven't picked up on that, and I will do some research after this podcast because I don't actually know. You raise a very good point.
Well, he got changed for Masuaku, which I didn't quite understand.
Well, it might be tactical. I'll ask. But, I mean, it's interesting. I'm just going to put the stats in there. West Ham had 44% possession, which probably isn't unusual since we're away from home. The Eagles have 56. The interesting point is, West Ham had 6 shots, 2 on target. So our 2 shots on target went in. Eagles had 20 shots, 9 on target. Why are you laughing when I say the word Eagles?
Whenever you do these stats, you always use the nickname. It's stupid.
Well, that's the same way he calls Hernandez a little pee all the time. To annoy
little pee.
Don't rise to it, George.
I try not to every week, but it just tickles me when it's Eagles.
Well, that mean, that's not a very good stat, though, Sean, is it, really?
Well, I was going to add, right, the way I saw it, and I only saw the first half, I thought we only had like 20, 30 minutes of good play. For the first 10, 15 minutes, I thought no team was really showing anything. It seemed a bit of a stalemate, and no one really had any creative ideas. It was only when, obviously, West Ham got the first and the second. But I would say, again, I was watching on my phone in the middle of Bewley Motor Museum. We probably had 20, maximum 30 minutes good play in the first half. Would you disagree with that, George?
I didn't see the first half, so I can't answer that.
Oh, well, I disagree with that, George.
Well, like I say, it was better. As I say, it was better because the application was there, the effort scene was there. And we weren't great, you know, we weren't great, but you know, I think the main was the first goal. It was a good bit of play. We had a good interplay, good few passing movement, and there was a goal, you know. So I sort of felt that at half time they're going to go in 2-0 up and sort of think, well, we're starting to get this together, keep it going, and then it just sort of went the other way and we just sort of got pushed back. And what Ogbonna, I mean, the penalty he gave away was a penalty. It was just a stupid challenge. And then all the way, sort of, all that effort and all that defensive work that we did, we sort of sat back and let them come onto us and didn't really attack. And we had a couple of opportunities on the break where, you know, people chose not to take the attack on and just sort of then played it back. And then in the 97th minute, when we needed to do that, they didn't do it, did they?
And yeah. I mean, Obonna's got to take his... I mean, I've seen the replay. I didn't watch the second half, but I've seen the highlights. He's got to take his responsibility for that. I thought it was really marketing spin to get Obonna to come on the official website today and do a story on it saying how we were unlucky and not mention that he gave away a penalty in any of the interview. I mean,
it was a stupid penalty as well. The guy was running away from him. Townsend was running. It was just, but it was a penalty. And there's no argument, as well. You know. So it's just annoying. And then Antonio, what he was doing. That's just, again, it's just a stupid thing to do. I don't blame him. I don't want to have a go at him. I don't mean, because he's been the one positive sort of thing for the last sort of 12 months in this team, isn't he?
Yeah.
So I don't want to start slating him for it, but
some people were blaming Bilic and saying maybe he shouldn't. He was in pain and injured, and he was. But you probably saw, I mean, the bit I'm going to mention, I'm going to come to George in a minute for the second half, is the interview afterwards with Joe Hart, where he was really emotional and he called them unprofessional and we can't do this. I mean, I saw real passion from Joe Hart in that interview. Did you both see it?
Yeah, I saw that. He was disappointed.
I don't doubt his passion, though, to be fair. He's always been a passionate player, whatever team he's playing for. I mean, I remember watching him for England, and when everyone else was not showing much passion, he was the one kicking the hoardings and shouting at ball boys to get the ball back. And, you know, he's always been good at that.
But then also saw him give his best performance. Oh, yeah. In a West Hampshire.
I think that would probably be something to do with why he was so disappointed, because he had such a good game and saved us literally on so many occasions.
Well, he saved us. He got us the point at least, didn't he? Because there's many a time other times we have scored goals we weren't for him.
So you missed the first half, George?
I did. I watched.
You have something better to do?
No, I was actually out already and missed the beginning of the game and came back for the second half.
So you saw the worst. So you missed the two goals, yeah?
I missed the two goals. Obviously saw them on Twitter as they were going in. But, yeah.
What about the second half? Because I didn't see it. Maybe I just saw the highlights, which some can be a bit misleading.
I think John's gone over it already. We were quite lacklustre in the second half and giving away stupid penalties. And, you know, like Joe Hart made it a lot of good saves in that second half, not throughout the whole game really, so could have easily lost that game. And again, I don't think Bilic can be blamed for bringing on Antonio, because he didn't look injured to me. I thought he was playing really well
I didn't quite understand why he did bring him on, though. That's what I didn't understand the Creswell substitution, Zabaleta going off.
I don't see it,
unless there's more to it. I don't know.
But it could just be legs, couldn't it? You know, he was doing the job. Until he gave that ball away, he was the one holding the ball up, and he was the one winning the ball, and he was winning free kicks in the corner. Yeah.
Oh, he's incredible. You can't knock him off the ball, can they? But it was just...
That was the job he was told to do, I imagine, would be run at him, keep hold of the ball. And
it reminded me of Scaloni.
Don't remind me of that.
It was Scaloni-esque, but it was... You know, he's got a natural attacking mind, isn't he? And he obviously saw, I think it was two or three of our players running into the box to get on the end of that cross. So you could say again, why was anyone running to get on the end of the cross? It's like...
Yeah. Last things I want to say about the game. The first one is that losing as we did, dropping 2 points, that is 11 points dropped this year in the last 5 minutes. At what point has Slaven Bilic got to take some responsibility? And you know, he must have sat down with the squad and said, we've got to stop conceding in the last 5 minutes.
You'd like to think so.
You'd like to think that they're working on it or doing something on it. What are you saying, Sean? Sack Slav?
Well, we'll get on to that later. the other thing is, apparently West Ham, out at Opta Stat, have got the least running cover the least amount of pitch than any Premier League side this season.
I saw that as well, yeah.
And that's got to come down to fitness. And if there's one thing I want to be a little bit anti-bald is, we knew this in the summer. We knew that this 69-year-old handball coach in charge of fitness had to go. So even if they didn't sack Slav in the summer, why didn't they replace some of his fitness people? Because there was these concerns before the summer. Were they worried about undermining him? Why didn't they make a change at least to his backroom staff, if nothing else?
Well, I don't know. Are we going to talk about Slavin now, are we? Because you're still banging on about he should go.
I'll tell you what, hold that thought. We're just going to hear from Nigel about his views on the two games, and we'll be right back. So just to say, sure. Let's hear what the Cockney has to say.
And we welcome all the way from Scotland. Okay, the new Nigel. What are you doing in Scotland? Have you met up with Gio from Hammers Chat?
No, I'm by the lovely banks of Loch Lomond.
Oh yeah,
having a rest. Yeah.
With the family or?
Yeah, with the family.
Yeah. Ian Dale, no.
No, I left him at home.
So, you went to both games, Nigel, and you're not on the podcast, so I thought I'd give you a little call up and ask you. We went together to Wembley a few days after the euphoria now. What did you think of the game?
The first half was absolutely dire, wasn't it? We couldn't seem to string anything together. We had no passing to each other. They all looked lost. And then in the second half, we came out, we got the one goal. I think that gave us belief. And then we went on from that. Get 3-2 up. Best 15 minutes at Wembley since 1980.
It was fun, wasn't it? Every time. We were in block 113.
Four.
With our German friend from West Ham, Sly Dive. What was his name?
EB.
Or AB, as he called himself.
Yeah.
AB.
Yeah.
He brought us in there. Jürgen. And, it was... And Kev from ITV, the other side, one of George's mates. Because George had an important meeting, didn't he?
He couldn't make it.
But were a magical... Yeah. You were right. That was a magical 15 minutes. And we were...
Showered in beer.
We think it was beer. Maybe it was cider now for the first time. But it was unbelievable. You know, you got to two all, and I said, "Well, they've given it a go. I don't care." And then we got Bonner gets the third goal. And it went really crazy. People were diving on each other, etc. The team come over.
People behind us ended up three rows in front of us. It was like that.
And the person behind accidentally snapped his seat. I'm sure you saw that as well.
Yeah.
But it was so that was a great victory, but it sort of distracted us away from the league. And you've got a little story, didn't you? You bumped into someone on your way home. Who did you bump into?
Yeah, you love the story. Yeah. I bumped into Bill Gardner on the train station at Westminster. So
he was lost, wasn't he?
Well, he wasn't lost. He wanted to get the Victorian. It looked like he was going to the way out rather than the other end of the platform, which was the District Line. So I just made sure he got there. That's all.
Yeah.
I had a little chat with him about Corinthian casuals because his boys played for him.
Yeah. Do you remember the ICF now?
I'm too young. You know, anyone under the age of 50, if they say they win the ICF, they weren't.
Yeah, but you could have been in the under-5s then, maybe.
I could have been, but I weren't.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to Palace, because you were the only person who actually went to Palace, so loyal supporter. Who'd you go there with?
I went with the rest of the infirm City firm.
Who is? You want to name them?
No, we were a secret organisation. Our flag was...
It was the West Ham Till I Die lot, let's be honest.
Yeah, West Ham Till I Die. I mean, there is something I want to say about that. On the way in, with the flag, I was holding it. And we got stopped by a steward. What's that? It's a flag. We want to look at it. What for? Well, we want to see what it says. And it was a West Ham steward. And I'm like, what's he got to do with you?
Well, like, it's fair enough. You know, each one, you saw what happened at Wembley with the...
Hold on. It's the West Ham steward. What's it got to do with him?
Well, because they got, after I took the picture at Wembley...
Yeah, and where was we playing?
We were playing at Spurs' home ground. And
On Saturday?
Oh, on Saturday at Selhurst Park, yeah.
Right, so what's it got to do with him?
They're just trying to make sure the ground regulations are followed and there should be no offensive or discrimination on the flags.
Is the word Brady offensive?
It is when you put thieving, lying cheats as they did at Wembley, yeah.
Oh, that's not offensive.
What did your flag say?
Infirm, city firm. Our colours don't run, neither can we.
Excellent. So did you get it in or not?
Good.
Let's talk about the game, because I was in the New Forest and I only really saw the goals and so I saw the good period where we scored the two really good goals, but I must admit I lost signal because I was at Bewley and I lost most of the second half, so I didn't see the dire stuff. I mean, obviously I've seen it on replay. What you were there, what was the atmosphere like? What was the game like?
The atmosphere was good. I mean, the first half sprung into life once we got our two goals. I mean, a fantastic goal by AU. He's obviously picked up where we left off on Wednesday. Come out for the second half, we're all confident, can't you? And then, Ogbonna, what's he doing? The bloke's running away from the goal. And then he brings him down, individual mistake.
Yeah.
Gives them a lifeline. You could say, I mean, we didn't have realistically any other chances that I can remember second half.
I mean, in the first half, it was two shots on target, two goals, you know. We took every chance, to be fair.
And, you know, they knocked on the door. I thought we did okay defensively to hold out. I mean, right at the end. You know, I was frustrated at the end with Antonio.
What was the mood like in the away end?
It was disappointing. Disappointment because you're so close. So close to getting a win. Two wins in 3 days.
Yeah.
Fantastic, you know.
That's 5 points, by the way. 5 points we've lost this season in the last 5 minutes. 11 points in total in 2017. Conceding goals in the last 5 minutes that led to a loss of points.
Down to individual mistakes.
Yeah.
Bilic can't be blamed for people in the last minute doing what they do. Giving away a penalty at Southampton.
Yeah, well, that's my last question for you before I let you get on to putting your kilt back on and eating haggis or whatever you do when you're on holiday. your change with one win from Wembley and a draw against Palace. Does your position change? You said you'd give Slav until Palace. Position?
No, it don't change. He's not failed yet. It's not looking good, though. And I tell you what.
He's still on probation.
Yeah, because of the next 7, 8, 9 games, there's possibly only 10 points to be had, which... It's not fantastic if he can get it 10 points. If he can get 10 points out of the next 7 games, then I think he'll keep his job. I think the big decision to be made will be made around the Arsenal game. After that, December the 13th. If you're going to bring someone in, you want them in for the transfer window.
Yeah.
I mean,
cool.
It's tough. 1 point from Palace and Brighton.
And when you look at it like that,
that's not good.
That's not good at all. When you see we took a point before that out of 3 games, which we did a poll and most people said 7 points, we got 2 points out of 3 games.
Yeah, that's not, you know, that is...
So you're back for Saturday game against Liverpool?
Yeah.
What's your prediction?
I think we'll lose, sadly. Oh. I think we'll lose 2 or 3 nil.
Well, there you go. Nigel Khan, live or pre-recorded from Scotland. Will we have you back, so-called, in the studio next Monday, Nigel?
I'll be back in the shed.
Okay. Missing you already. See you, Nigel.
Yeah, have a good show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
What do you think about that then, John?
I haven't got a clue. I can understand it. I don't understand Cockney.
Yeah, no, I know. I don't understand Scottish, but there you go. So that's Nigel from Scotland. And I'm just going to give a plug. Nigel, before he left for Scotland, did a interview with Eddie Bovington, who is a 1964 FA Cup team or medal winner, and we'll be publishing that later this week in his series of interviewing former players. That's the next one, Eddie Bovington. Watch out for it later this week. Cool. So let's talk about the elephant in the room, John.
Okay, go on then.
Slaven Bilic.
Well, tell me what's happening, Sean, because I don't know.
Well, I think it's as simple as this, right? I've talked to people after the senior sources after the Spurs match, and I spoke to them again after the Crystal Palace.
Well, he didn't get his 2 wins, so he got 1 win.
No, he didn't get his 2 wins,
so.
But then that was never a target. I don't know who said that. It wasn't true. By the way, just last stat. You know, over the last 3 games, we've got 2 points over 3 Premier League games. That's obviously not good enough. But the situation, as far as I'm aware, hasn't changed. They do not want to replace him with anyone less who they believe is inferior. They believe there's not enough quality on the market at the moment, and they will not just do a knee-jerk reaction. And I think there is part of it. They don't want to put in a caretaker manager at this time, because they're worried about it will be an even bigger mistake. Now, some may say they're sort of paralysed in fear. Damned if they do, damned if they don't. But I think there is this limbo at the moment where they just don't know. They're saying, we can't get... And I was told it's really difficult to get the quality mid-season. Look who Leicester appointed. I ask you the question, who do you think that's better than Slav that's available now that we could go out and get? Bearing in mind, we're not going to put in Terry Wesley or anything like that. That's off the table.
Well, I had a moan last week, didn't I? And I had a bit of a rant, but a calm, realistic mind, you need to realise, you know, Bilic, he had a great season, didn't he? His first great season. Last season, not so good, but there's a lot, I would say, a lot of mitigating circumstances for that. A lot of the stadium move, the Payet, all of the things that went with that last season, I think you can be forgiven for. Now, this season was the season where him and the board had to get it right. They had to get the transfers right. They had to back him properly, and he had to get everything else right himself. Well, he's just a lame duck manager, isn't he? That he's there. His contract's running out at the end of the season. They've got no real inclination to renew it.
Yeah.
They've undermined him at every chance, every opportunity. So he's dead in the water. So they kind of get what they deserve. And the unfortunate thing is it affects us. This season's written off. The fans suffer again. But their inability to act and manage the football club properly, albeit that Bilic does things that actually you could say maybe he should go because he does this, maybe he does this. But who else do they honestly think is going to come in? We were talking earlier and you were talking about names like Pellegrini and that. Are these managers, these top-end managers, going to look at West Ham? I think we're going to come and work for them too. Or them.
I think I told you earlier, Pellegrini, I've just been told today, is on $13 million a year in China with a £5 million bonus.
We talk about managers, Sean, that's all you throw at us is the money.
Well, I'll tell you, all right, let me give you an update that I haven't even told you on the WhatsApp group.
Ooh!
It's a no for Ronald Koeman as well. Koeman.
Well, I'm glad about that.
You know why?
Too much money.
You were spot on. No, you were spot on. What did you say about Koeman?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Well, he's exactly the same as, or showing to be exactly the same as the stuff that everyone said that he's doing wrong.
Oh, no. It's the opposite. He's apparently not very well liked by his players.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And he's seen as a disciplinarian that actually he gets right up in the nose of.
But aren't they saying that about? Players. Weren't they saying that about Bilic because he falls
no,
out?
No, he's Mr. Falls softly, out with softly, nicey, nicey.
But then, if you've got someone like an Arnautovic who's historically a problematic player in a dressing room. All he's got to take no notice of Bilic because he's not going to be there next season. The way they're doing it is as if it's a surprise to them that he's losing the dressing room, because all you need is a few upstarts, a few little people who think they're bigger, better than they already are. Take no notice of the manager because they're not getting played, they're not doing this. Generate a sour, bitter atmosphere and you lose a dressing room.
Yeah.
But, they've undermined him so much to the point that they should really just get rid of him because what they've done to him is not going to be of any worth.
And the fact that he's got 10 more games. I'm going to tell you the update again. I haven't seen. He's got 10 more games to turn it around.
Well, that's just ridiculous from the 2 to 4.
Yeah, what does that take us to? Past Christmas, doesn't it?
We haven't got hardly any points from the games where we should have got points from. We've got a run of games coming up against the top 3-4.
Yeah.
We are going to be in a relegation battle this season. Now, they need to realistically have had a plan ready for the end of this season who they're going to replace him with.
Yeah.
They got Bilic, wasn't their first choice manager when they signed him in the first place. It was their fourth or fifth. So they have got to wake up and realise that they haven't really got a clue what they're doing. You know what I mean?
All right. Well, let me put you two in charge for a minute, right? John, you are David Gold, and George, you are David Sullivan. I don't know if that makes me Karen Brady. David Gold, a.k.a. John, what are you going to do? Right, we're in this position at the moment. Forget what's gone before. What do you want to do? We're having a board meeting.
Well,
what's
in this
your
position
view?
Now, I'd say, well, who have we got lined up? Because we knew.
Well, I'm asking you. You're in charge now, mate.
I'm not in charge. If I'm David Gold, I'm just a figurehead. I've just thrown some money in. I want to know that we agreed last summer that he was going to run his contract down at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Who have we lined up for next season?
All right. They give you an unlimited, right? Forget. Who would you bring in as a manager?
Ancelotti. Unlimited. Okay. Go and get Ancelotti.
David Sullivan, a.k.a. George.
Well, he wouldn't come. He wouldn't come and work for me.
A.k.a. George.
Hello.
Yes. What are you going to do, mate?
I wish I knew.
I'm going to ask a famous blogging site to do a poll. Who would you have?
Yeah, can you do a poll on who you want? And should we keep Bilic?
Have you got no names?
Are you asking me who I want?
Yeah, I'm asking you who you want.
Who are you asking? David Sullivan?
I'm asking you as David Sullivan. Who
cheapest option, please. The cheapest option. Yeah.
Yeah?
What's in it for me?
What, for you, David Gold?
Oh, that's a bit unfair. This is a bit
You gave us the characters to play, Sean.
I want value for money. I'm not just going to find money. I want value for money. No, I want to make sure I get. I mean, if someone wants 15 mil, I'll offer them 5. But if they keep us up the first season, next level and all that, I'll give them 10.
All right. Would any of you have Pardew in?
No.
Would either of you add Sam Allardyce back?
No. He's put himself forward for Everton.
Who are you asking, David Sullivan?
Yeah, I'm asking no, it's you. Would any of you and Harry Redknapp?
This is really confusing, Sean. I'm so confused.
Maybe we should move on. All I'm trying to make a point is, it's not. There's no easy solution.
I'm trying to make the point is, if you run a football club properly, you have contingencies and you know what you're doing.
You're crying over spilt milk. We are where we are.
I'm not crying over spilt milk. It's an ongoing situation. They should have a contingency plan for these such thing that's going on now.
What and also, the spilt milk puddle's only going to get bigger the longer it goes on, this indecisiveness and undermining of the manager. It's only going to get worse.
And if they
and
honestly...
we're going to end up in January. We're going to be right in the thick of a relegation battle and no one's going to want to come.
And if they honestly believe that a manager at the level of Pellegrini and Ancelotti would come and work for them two or three... They're dreaming, aren't they? Absolutely dreaming. So they need to lower their sights, do a bit of research and have a plan in place. My opinion.
There you go. And George, John gets the last word. Very unusual. I won't even come back on that one. So it must be time for this. Yes, it's Facebook, Twitter, question time. I've got
time.
Have you got them up, George, or shall I read them out?
You go for it, Sean, if you've got them up.
Ed Hughes says, against Spurs, we had a horrific 45 minutes and a great 45 minutes. Palace, we were good for 30 minutes in the middle and hung on for the rest. Just look at the stats. Is it really enough to save his job? I'm no happier than after Brighton drubbed us. Can anyone remember when we looked good for a whole entire 90 minutes?
Do you want me to read the next one, Sean?
Yeah. I can't remember the last time we looked good for 90 minutes, no.
No, it's a good point.
But we've discussed the manager, so...
Yeah.
No. I remember before the Brighton game, Dad, I think I said to you, I'm looking forward, I just want a solid performance, a whole game where we just look confident and assured and look how that turned out. So, well, yeah, I agree with you, Ed.
We haven't done it. I can't remember the last time we dominated a game.
No, I don't think it was even last season, really, was it?
No. Like, I mean,
definitely not at home.
Yeah, last... we haven't, how many goals have we seen? We had this question, didn't we? Down our end of the ground, Sean. How many goals have we seen? In the new ground.
Paul Coles adds to Ed Hughes' comment saying, can't even be asked ranting anymore, so what he said.
I like that.
Yeah, there is going to be a point where there's no point doing any of this anymore because it's going to be the same stuff.
What he said.
Taffy Wallback says, just watch the highlights on Match of the Day and not surprised that much to find us as the second game on and everyone on there having a Crystal Palace loving. Also, why didn't anyone foul? I think it was Townsend that led up to the equaliser. I don't understand that. Toby Fisher says, score predictions for Liverpool game on Saturday. I'm hoping we continue to score goals and we grab at least a draw. I'm going to go confident and say we're going to win 3-0 on Saturday and have a really good performance.
All right, okay. We'll give our predictions in the correct place in the running order.
Why not, Sean?
I predict it now. We're going to draw 1-1.
I'll go for a 2-0 loss.
Oh. Lee Peathers says, at what point do the board trigger Article P45 and save our season? Bilic has also already lost the players and the fans. Now, has he lost the fans?
Or
just some of the fans?
I think he's lost the majority of the fans.
Do you think?
I'm not sure he's lost the players. I think he's lost some players and the majority of the fans. I think people like Sacco hasn't got any time for him, and I think some of the other players.
Well, Sacco's done now after that thing he did, wasn't he? It's a shame, but there you go.
Well, he's still got he got some game time on Saturday.
No, he didn't.
I didn't.
Did he not?
No.
No.
I thought I heard Sacco came on. Oh, I know. I was listening. It must have been. I heard, because it was breaking up, it was Sacco from Crystal Palace, wasn't it?
Yeah, but he didn't come on, but they probably said something about him. Because Tompkins played, because he didn't play. Tompkins was a bit, wasn't he?
Did Sacco from Palace not come on as a substitute then?
No.
Okay.
I wouldn't really remember if he did, to be fair. And just a shout to all our listeners to go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/mornjustapodcast, and see our new and improved Facebook header featuring Shedman. I think Nigel liked that picture.
Yeah. So I think that's about us this week, isn't it?
That is us.
We've got no predictions to do because we've just already done them.
So what about
Yeah, nice one, Toby.
Yeah. Well, we're a bit lost what to do. Oh, how do we finish the podcast?
Sean, what about all the stuff about the ground and the LADC and all that? Is that out there now or?
I've been upsetting lots of people during the week. I don't know how much I can say about it.
Save it for another day.
Don't worry about it.
I'll save it for another day.
Okay.
Lots to say. Lots going on at the London Stadium. Lots more to come. It's a fun. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like a EastEnders, isn't it? It's just like
it's, soap as opera. We say on Clarence Hugh, it's a story that keeps on giving.
Absolutely.
It's like Dream Team.
Anyway.
Manchester United.
I have been here. George has been
Here as well.
And John has been
in my loft.
And Nigel has not been in his shed. He's been in Scotland.
Ach, no.
That's it.
Bye.
Bobby Moore.
Come on, you
words. Podcast. Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.